Yeah, recording started over here too.
It's good to have redundancy. After all, we are coders.
We have redundant recorders, so we're...
It's just you and me, Brady. I don't think anybody else is recording, right?
I don't think so. There's only two that are showing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Brady is recording on the call.
And then we'll let, I guess, Senna, you get to take the... do you have the
agenda.
Agenda in front of you. You can always go through it, and I'm just obviously we'll jump in whenever. Oh, we got somebody on. It's probably Steven.
It's Kevin.
Oh, it's Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, Eddie, we have the agenda in front of me. Do you want me to go ahead and?
Yeah.
One by one. So, call to order. So this is the Open AMR meeting, May 11th, and this is Senna. So I call for the meeting. Call to order. Approval.
Motion that.
Very good.
Need a motion? Okay.
I think we can I don't think we need a motion to call. I think we can just call it in and then move on.
Very good. Thanks, Brady. Anyway. Next one, approval of minutes. Who's going to go through that? April 13th, 2016 board meeting.
This is Robert. I move to approve the minutes from April 13th.
Mm-hmm. And this is Lou. I second.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Next one, April 27th, 2016 special board meeting.
This is Robert. I move to approve the special board meeting minutes as well.
Someone, could you please second that?
Lou, I'll second that as well.
Excellent. Thanks once again, gentlemen. Financial report, number 3 on the agenda.
We need to wait for Stephen for
that. Wait for Stephen, yeah. And we have a hand up, it looks like.
Yeah, it's me. Folks, you don't have, for such a small group, you don't have to second. Just make the motion, and that's it. I think when you have a large group, you need seconds. So for such a small little group, please have a motion and then go on to the next step, if you will, please.
Robert's rules, I believe, dictate we have to have a second. I think we should just continue with the second.
Actually, in the handbook that I sent you on the simplified parliamentary rules, it mentions specifically that it's not necessary. If you want to do it, you can do it, of course, but such a little group, if you don't have to do it, it will save a little time. So I'll leave it up to you, the rest of you, rather.
Very good, Stephen. So who's doing the financial report? Good morning, Stephen. Good evening, Stephen.
And we're waiting for his voice, probably.
Oh.
Looks like he's connected, but he doesn't have his mic going yet. But you know, on the seconds, we could always look into that more and then make the decision for the next meeting.
Sure.
Maybe
sure
we'll
thing.
Do that.
Yeah, sure thing.
But I can always go through, while we're waiting for Steven, we could always go into the next site. Oh, he's in.
Yep. Good evening, Steven.
Good evening, sorry about that.
All right. We just went through the motion of 1 and 2 on the agenda. We are on number 3, the financial report.
Okay. I just have a short update. We're waiting for word from the IRS on a couple of things. Number 1 being the reinstatement, and then number 2, a question about whether or not we would need to file anything for tax year 2015. And I don't really have an update. I haven't heard back from our contact at the IRS.
Stephen, Stephen, can I ask you a question? I just sent you an email, and you probably didn't get a chance to read it. I think, considering the fact that May 15th is this Sunday, it might be safer to send the 990EZ with the schedule and the cover letter off, because if it's not necessary, nothing bad is going to happen. But if we're supposed to send it in and we don't, then we messed up again. So what do you think about that, Stephen?
I don't have a problem, you know, with that, just sending it in, yeah. And I kind of have the sense that it is irrelevant, because we're not a, you know, currently a 501c3, but I have no problem just sending it.
Yeah, I don't think any harm is going to come of it, because the worst is that the IRS is, you sent in something that you don't need. But if the first IRS agent that you talked to, if she was right, she's the one who told, wasn't she the one who told us that we had to send in the 990EZ? Do you remember?
Yeah, that very first call was a little, you know, out there. It was a brand new topic for me, so I didn't really, you know, maybe ask the questions in order. Maybe the lady was confused. But the second lady, I asked her, mm-hmm. to verify that, you know, and mm-hmm. she seemed pretty sure that it's not necessary. But like you're saying, I mean, it's no big deal if we just send it and they don't file it, or file it if it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because the only thing you have to do is just to change the date on it and just sign. You have to sign the cover letter. You have to sign the 990EZ. Schedule A, you don't have to sign. Schedule O, you don't have to sign. So basically, it's two signatures, two dates, and I suppose if you track it, and that's all we need to do. So would you please do that tomorrow, Stephen?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. So thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Dr. Lee. Could we move on to MU2 report next?
So I'll do the MU2 report. This is Brady. So just going through it, I'll try and do it a little quicker this time. The items that have passed, the first item was B5, incorporate labs and values. That was done by Harley at MI Squared and Rod at Sunset Systems. So that item has passed. It's in the code base, and that's a done item. There's two other items that have been passed by ZH Healthcare, the E2 clinical summaries and the F2 transmission immunization registries. That's been passed. We're still waiting to get the code in the code base. A code review has been done on it. We're just waiting for the next revision to do another code review on. So I'll touch base with Jacob over at ZH just to see where that is. Then there's three other items that are being worked on by Vasolve. That's in progress. That's item AA, clinical decision support. C1 to C3 is clinical quality measures, and the G2, which is automated measure calculations. And I think I talk with them tomorrow, so we'll get an update as what's going on with that. They're, you know, right now they're probably just getting a lay of the land and getting the demos set up and things like that. Then there's the last item is G3, which is safety enhanced design. That's being worked on by Virginia at the Columbia University IT certificate program. And you know, I touched base on that her probably 2 weeks ago, and they definitely plan to work on it, but I don't know the timeline, so I'll touch base and see what the timeline is on that. But that's the MUT report.
I have Brady, this is Lou Galterio. I have just a quick question on that. With the new changes coming on with MIPS under the macro law for next year, and I know that what we're doing now is for, you know, 2015, but from what I heard, that some of the clinical quality measures, one of I remember from past conversations, one of the most difficult functions, I believe, is getting dropped under the clinical quality measures. And I can't quite remember what that topic was. Did you hear what I'm talking about? Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't doubt. You know, I read something about that because they're going to combine it with PQRS, I think. But I think they're going to drop it for, you know, because they're trying to merge everything. But that would be MU3, and that's, you're right. And the 2015 is really the MU3 stuff. But so MU2, we're still trying to get MU2 passed at this point. So, but MU3 definitely down the road. I think there's something I read also about CQM being potentially drop them, and I'm not sure which item, or maybe all of them, but I'm not sure exactly what.
Whatever the one that was causing us the biggest grief from when we were trying this last year, and I can't remember the terminology we used. But you just cleared something up for me, too. So we're not looking at this as 2015 versus 2014, where it's meaningful use 2 and meaningful use 3. Anyone who gets a meaningful use 3 designation, that's not going to happen until 2016, right?
Yeah.
Vendors
really,
who want
well,
EHR
yeah,
that are meaningful
the way
use
the rules
3.
Are, yeah, 2014 is MU2. I mean, this is, took a while for me to figure out. And then 2015, the ones that just got released, that's mm-hmm. really MU3, which essentially is going to be reworded as some, I think, advanced care. You know,
yeah.
they're rewording it now and merging it into MIPS and MACRA and all that stuff. And
okay.
But essentially, MU3 is definitely, you know, they acted like it was going to go away, but it's not. I don't think it's going away. It's just getting renamed and repackaged into something else.
Okay, so we're sort of still done for the 2014.
Yeah, this is 2014 getting MU2 done, so we can actually be, you know, so people can actually be certified for that before you can even go on to
okay.
MU3. MU3, you know, we decided not to talk about it this meeting because we thought we'd be short on time, but that one really is waiting on, you know, we're kind of analyzing that at some point and then waiting on grants and all this stuff is really been postponed because of we can't really apply for grants until revocation stuff is fixed with the
okay.
organization. So.
All right, thanks for clarifying that. Thank
yeah.
you.
Betty, this is Senna. Do you see any challenges for MU2 and the estimated time of completion? Do you have any?
I don't think so. I mean, I'll talk with Vasal, your group, tomorrow and see what they're thinking about with their three measures. And then, you know, we have two that are just waiting for ZNH just to, you know, just to get they pass them, but we have to get their code into the code base. I think the one is the safety enhanced design G3 is one I don't know the timeline for. So, you know, the three items that Vasal is working on, I think will probably be, my thought was be anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks starting from 2 weeks ago. So I'm guessing we're at the 3 month mark with that. And then safety enhanced design, I just got to figure out the timeline as to what they're doing. If they can't do it quick enough, then we may have to also think about trying to figure out another way to get that one done. But I think that one may be the one. And that's a big one because that one actually doesn't allow you to, if you don't get that one covered, you can't actually even modular certify a lot of other items because it relies on that.
Which one is that? Once again?
It's G3 safety enhanced design.
Okay.
And
that's the one where
who?
You basically have a lot of doctors come in and not a lot of doctors. Basically, it's it's a lot of paperwork where they have to do a kind of a controlled survey where one or two or any however number of doctors come in and, you know, try out Open EMR and fill out the survey, and they have to follow a really strict process on doing it.
Brady, who is in charge of that?
That would be that's so Virginia over at she's at Columbia University Health IT Certificate Program. They've actually already done it once. Probably about 2 years ago, they did the whole process with their students basically, and their students are in the medical field, so they're actually able to be considered candidates that can actually do the survey. The problem is 2 years ago, the reporting requirements were different. They changed. So the report that they did is actually not, it wasn't able to pass. So they have to do it all over again.
Okay, is that somebody else can help there or no?
It need not necessarily be done by them itself. You know, it can be any doctor who is using the system and their office, whoever is using within their office can do it. It need not necessarily be Virginia or those kind of people. So are using it within the practice, then somebody within that practice can go through it, and then somebody else can actually oversee them and get it certified. I think that's how we went. And we got that certified.
Sam, do you know whether there is one practitioner? How many offices have to be involved? Because certainly I can do it. I mean,
yeah, I don't think a lot has to be. I think they have to be about a couple of different users. It's not even talking about practices in general.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be at least a couple of users. I think we did more than a couple of users. So I think it's just two users that have to do that. And I'm sure if you ping Jacob, he will tell you, Brady, what we did with that.
Oh, okay. Because
and it's not very difficult. And in fact, I tried to do it with Virginia and I had to wait a long time. And
uh-huh.
even when they came back, it was not right. Then
uh-huh.
we went the other route and we got one of our customers and
uh-huh.
their staff to do that.
Yeah. Because I'm perfectly willing to help out in that regard, because I'm a user.
Yeah. So, the only thing probably might be, since you are part of the board, we have to give it like, you know, the CISO's wife theory. So if you guys know a user within our forum, for example, I mean, I don't know, there are plenty of users that you can name and you can ask one of them and just direct them as to how to do that.
But actually, I am not even a member at this.
Okay, then you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because part of the agenda tonight is I'm going to ask to be admitted as a member. So I'm definitely I don't want to be part of the board. So there is nothing unethical about my participating.
Sure. So I don't think you had to wait for Virginia and get that thing and get
great
long cycle.
Great.
You can get it done within 3-4 days. In fact, if you have the time, I think even in one day you can get that whole process done.
Probably.
Maybe I'll touch base with Jacob and just see what the, because it sounds like a lot of it is just, you know, the procedure they have to follow. So maybe you guys already have that done.
Yeah.
The paperwork, because it is just a pile of paperwork.
I don't mind doing it.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll touch it. Because I'm going to email Jacob regarding the getting the code review done anyway, so.
Okay.
On the other items. So I'll touch base on that and see. Because I kind of agree. I don't want to wait because I have a feeling we'll get everything else done and be stuck still with this.
We wasted a lot of time just waiting for this from. Now, we thought that Virginia was going through some specialized process that they had and all that. And when finally, you know, we hit the wall, we were forced to actually go back and look at this whole thing. And then we realized it's not that, you know, that difficult to get this thing done.
Yeah, she's basically using it as a student project.
Right.
Is what she's doing. But yeah, no, definitely. It'd be good to go another route with that one. So I think we will.
Yeah.
So is that Brady? You're going to follow that up then?
Yep.
Very good. So having said that,
one more minute. Sorry, Sena. Brady, sure. Maybe Shahzad might be the better person to give you that guidelines than Jacob. But you can go through Jacob too, sure.
I'll send it to both of them because Jacob is the one who's doing. If I want a revision on the two items, maybe I'll send this to both.
All right, cool.
The two items that need to be revised, and then the this item too.
All right. I'm sorry, Sena. You continue.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's good. So I'm glad we talked about it. So, Brady, if Z3 will be done within a few days or maybe within weeks, is there anything else you think that need to be expedited to get the MU2 certification done?
I think, because all we're really waiting is on, you know, Vasal's work, basically, that point, those three items, and then the two items that aren't in the code base yet, but have been passed, which are by ZNH. Those are the only things that we're then waiting on. And again, I really think, to be realistic, those three items with Vasal, I mean, I think we're probably at like a 3-month, you know, to be realistic, 2.5 to 3 month time frame to get that done from now. I'll know more when I talk with them tomorrow.
Okay, good. If there's anything, do let me.
Yeah. Because they were saying 10 to 12 weeks, you know, I think it was given around 8 weeks, but we thought maybe that was unrealistic just because of the, you know, you got to, it's not just getting the coding done, it's also the testing and the scheduling for testing.
I remember that. Okay, good. Thank you, Brady. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Dr. Lee. Moving on to membership. Discuss membership.
Brady, do you want to talk about that three-tier structure that had been a resolution back in 2010? It was not really made part of the bylaws. So Sena and Sam have been part of the old board. Do you folks remember paying dues according to that three-tier structure?
This is Sena. I don't recall any mail requesting dues or anything. If I would have gotten it, we should have paid it. As far as I know, I could be wrong. I don't think I or my company did pay any dues.
Okay. Let me interject here. So that was brought up in the board at one point, and they were trying to collect, and I think he collected a couple of checks. But I think Sena's and my company, because we contributed a lot of code which far exceeds $1,000. We were given that membership in lieu of that thousand dollars
the code was given. So that was how it went down. So
I see.
No, we did not pay the money, but we contributed in kind. And so we were exempted from that. Any company that has contributed that much work in kind.
Sam, did we even get a mail message on that? I don't recall even getting anything.
I think you may be right. I don't think we were sent any mail. I think it was a discussion in the board about trying to raise that. And when this discussion came up, I think I proposed that this should be considered as well.
I see. I don't even recall. We talked about it. It doesn't mean I'm right, but I don't even remember there was due till I saw Dr. Lee's message. I didn't realize there was a due.
Oh, okay.
Probably you were not there for that meeting.
And
probably, Dr. Lee, one more thing. I think a couple of my business, my sub-franchisees, I think we paid some dues for that when they wanted to get a certified white label of the OpenEMR, if my memory serves me correct. I'm sure we did for at least one, but I may be wrong.
What is problematic is probably not the dues. It's for the third tier, there was a charge of $500 for a copy of OpenEMR as an extra copy. When Stephen and I were going through the filing for the tax returns, the IRS is particularly careful. They ask questions about what sort of income the nonprofit would make, and we need to be very, very careful if we're charging stuff, charging fees, because we already lost our 501c status because we didn't file the 990N for 3 years. And if we start charging money for services and goods, we need to be very, very careful when we do this kind of stuff.
Can I get a clarification? What does the $500 do actually entitle you to? Like, in what way are we selling OpenEMR? I guess I'm a little confused. Why are we selling something that is licensed in a way that doesn't require that?
Exactly. That's the problem. I suppose back during that meeting in February of 2010, as the second tier, you were going to get a free copy of OpenEMR. For the third tier, where I think you're paying $1,000 in dues, your first copy was free. Your second copy was going to be given to you for $500. Fortunately, that was not put into the bylaws. Had it been put into the bylaws, OpenEMR would have had to file another 1023, get another determination letter, because the IRS is particularly stringent about this kind of stuff. Anytime you start charging for things, it gets problematic. In fact, Steve and I had to deal with a letter from the IRS asking us specific questions about whether we charge for each copy of OpenEMR. And we told the IRS just recently that we don't charge for anything. But if we put this, that $500, we put all that stuff back in, make it part of the bylaws, it can get very hairy. And if you don't tell the IRS you're doing this, that can get very hairy. So I would suggest, folks, that I would suggest, as Brady had noted in the forum, that we don't do this. We don't have dues. We don't charge for things. And then our tax exempt status is a lot clearer because we've not been reinstated yet. And I don't think we should be doing this kind of stuff to make it more difficult for ourselves.
Even though it was put in that, not in the bylaws, in the meeting, I don't even think they were able to raise any money doing that unless you guys have some other knowledge from going through the accounts. So you know, it was wishful thinking that somebody brought up and said, oh, let's charge $500. I don't think anybody even paid for that, or did they?
This is Brady. And, you know, another thing about it is, you know, the bylaws are clear that in order to be a member, you have to be voted in by a majority of the board. And there's no record of anyone ever being voted in as a member. So, you know, my thought is, even if they paid those dues, they're still not a member. They never brought them in. So that's why I think if we were just to revert that motion, we would then just go back to, you know, being where you have to vote in the members. And it's like that anyway, except they basically added that on. They basically said, not only do you have to follow the bylaws and vote in a member, but that member also has to pay a due to be a member. So I think we could easily revert that motion they had from 2011, go back to you vote in the members, they don't pay dues. And we could always come back to this, I think, when we're more stable, and add dues if we wish. But I think we could, it'd probably be better to wipe that clean, because it is, the wording is pretty, you know, to be selling copies of OpenEMR when you can just download them is very unusual.
I'm not hearing any objection to what you're saying, so
we
can just go ahead and do it, unless somebody voices an objection to that.
No, we have to have a motion, right?
Yeah, Ready? Just go ahead and do the motion.
So I'll make a motion to remove the tiered member structure from the, I think it's February 20th, 2011 board meeting.
I second that, Shamim.
Very good. So, anything else on the membership we need to discuss?
Senate, you have to have a vote on it.
Oh, I thought you decided we are such a small group, we don't need it. Okay, fine.
Brady's motion had been seconded, so then you have to vote on it, Senna.
Yeah. Can we please vote on it now?
Yes.
We had in the past just been opening the floor to objections, and then hearing none, moving forward. So.
Okay. So, the board is open for any objections.
Can I just interject? I think probably that is not really a good idea, because especially on something that is crucial, you really should have a vote. And if no one says anything, we don't know who voted for it, who voted against it. And most people are on through their computer. So if you just raise your hand, I mean, I can't vote because I'm not even a member yet, but all you have to do is just have people click that raise their hand button.
We have people who are here on phones and not on the computer. Yes. Do you just want to do a quick roll call?
Let us do the quick roll call, that we will be get it done in a few seconds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Regarding the motion at hand to strike the three-tier system of membership dues, Robert Down, I vote yes. Lou?
I vote yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Sina?
Yes.
Roberto?
This is Roberto, yes.
Steven?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Tony and Jit are absent. The motion carries.
Excellent. Good. Anything else on membership now? We are done with membership, correctly?
There's one more thing, probably.
I think Brady's
bringing a member.
Yeah, I think we can now just vote Dr. Lee.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yes.
So
go ahead, Brady. I was going to do it.
Yeah, I was just going to nominate Fifth, I'm not sure what name we should be officially recognizing. What name do you want to be as a member?
Exactly.
Fiscal, FSGL, or Dr. Lee? We got options.
Can I be FSGL? Because since I'm not part of the board, I can be whatever I want.
Dr. Lee, does it have to be a legal name?
I don't know.
Yes, it has to be a legal name.
to be on the safe side, I think I recommend we go with the legal name. But
Actually, FSG is my legal name. They are all my initials.
Fine. It's up to you guys.
I suppose if you have to have a legal name, I suppose you can say Florence Lee. if it makes everybody feel better. But FSGL are really all my initials.
Let's go with Florida's name. Let's go with Florida's name.
I think for the legal name, probably we can have an also known as FSGL. By the record, I think it's better to go with the legal name.
Fine. Then please do it your way.
Given all the things what's going on, I think it's better to go with Dr. Lee, Florence Lee.
Fine.
Is it okay?
Fine. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay.
So you know, Brady, and this is Brady, and on the website, we can always put FSGL for the members.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Brady.
Yeah.
So okay. I second that.
This is Shamim. Aye. Yes.
So, clarification. Are we doing a roll call for every motion?
I would suggest that you just, for the people who are here on their computer, you can just raise your hands. And then for the people who are on their phone, you can just ask them. Actually, don't we have only two people on our phone or on their phones?
I had to switch to the iPhone. I'm in a hotel. The internet is not very stable, so.
We can do that. If you have a computer, you can raise your hand, and I can see who we need to get the voice vote.
Yeah, I'll go faster that way.
Kevin, how do you vote?
Sorry, I had you on mute. I'm fine with a simple procedure.
Okay. Lou?
I approve Dr. Lee. I approve.
Okay. I need votes from Brady and Roberto.
Brady is yes.
This is Roberto, yes.
Okay. That's everybody. We're good. Motion carried.
Thank you, everybody.
Good.
The first member.
The only member.
As my first act, can I move to bring up the topic of electing the chair? And if anybody wants to second it, they're welcome to it. So can we go on to that subject?
Sure.
I'll second that. This is Brady.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Kevin, with regards to electing Sam as... Was it Sam? Sorry, I lost my notes.
Yes, it is Sam.
To elect Sam as chairman of the board, how do you vote?
Wait, which Sam?
Shamim.
I vote no.
Okay. Lou, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
I need votes from Brady, Roberto, Sina, and Steven.
This is Roberto. Yes.
Sina?
Brady, yes.
Okay. Sina?
I abstain.
Sina abstains. Steven?
I'm not sure about the order, just for a point of order, the motion should come from a director, I believe. I mean, I'm glad Dr. Lee is a member. I'm just not sure on the bylaws if a member can make a motion at a meeting of directors.
I think you're right.
Then why don't you make, then Stephen, why don't you make the motion?
Okay. I will make the motion for Sam to be chairman.
Okay, and I guess I'll second that.
Who? That was okay. So I'm going to run through this call real quick. I want to do a voice vote just because we're actually appointing a director. Robert Down, I vote yes. Lou?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Tony is absent. Brady?
Yes.
Sina?
Abstain.
Roberto?
Yes.
Stephen Waite?
Yes.
And Kevin?
No.
Okay. With a majority vote, the motion is carried. Sam, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I'll try to do my best.
Okay, should we move, congratulations, Sam. Should we move on to unfinished business? Anything else on this topic? Dr. Lee?
I don't think there's any unfinished business. I think that Brady may want to talk about some new business, specifically, it has to do with the fact that if a director has three unexcused absence.
Perhaps we should just let Brady explain Brady's position.
This is Brady. We could do that new business because there's a couple more things I wanted to make sure we get through.
Okay.
If you're okay with it.
Sure, go ahead.
Because that may get more involved, I think.
Okay.
Because the other ones are pretty, because I think that would be new business also.
Yeah, I thought we were moving on to new business.
Yeah. I'll go through the two motions I want to do are pretty quick, I think. One is to discuss authorization of the treasurer to sign and issue checks. So in Article 9, Section 3 of the bylaws, the board has to say that's okay to be able to do that. And otherwise, it's just the executive director that's able to do that. So I was hoping that we could to get that motion passed to give the treasurer more flexibility to be able to manage the funds.
So the motion is to allow the treasurer
to sign and issue checks.
To sign and issue checks. This is Robert. I'll second that.
Shamim, yes.
Dana, yes.
Yeah, Lou, yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Sina?
Yes.
Steven?
I'll abstain.
Okay. okay, we're good. That as a majority, that passes. And just as a point of order, you don't actually have to abstain from what is a perceived conflict. You cannot be compelled to abstain from any of the votes. You shouldn't vote if you're going to be affected monetarily, but since that's not happening in any of these, I don't think there's any ethical problems choosing to vote in anything like this. We just can't compel board members not to vote, even if they're directly involved. But there's not a problem with abstaining.
And then the second, and actually just to clarify, that motion is not a change of bylaws, just to make sure. We're just basically following bylaws on that motion. The second motion is also per bylaws, Article 1, Section 2. We're just changing the principal office address and the mailing address of OEMR to essentially Stephen's business address. Right now it's going to somewhere in Oregon, so if people want to send donor checks or donate money, it's not going to go to the right address. There's another address, which is the registered agent, which has to say North Carolina, and I think we even have a official registered agent there, something we do have to follow up on, I think, to make sure of. But that we're not changing. We're just changing the actual office address and the mailing address so that mail goes to an actual person.
I don't think we actually need a motion for this. Like, I think, and I could be wrong, Stephen, correct me, you know the bylaws better than I do. I think we just discussed this, but I think, Brady, as executive director, this is something you can just do. I don't think you need a vote on this.
Okay, then we'll do that.
And actually, I submitted the form. I'm glad we don't need board approval for that, because I submitted the form to the state of North Carolina earlier today. It'll take, they said, between 3 to 5 days to process it. So it was both the principal and the mailing addresses. I signed a secretary. It was submitted online. I think I paid $5. I put it on my business card. And I guess I can fill out, I guess we need some type of form, Stephen, that you need me to fill out, like a reimbursement form. I mean, I would be fine just letting it go. It's $5. It's not a big deal. On the other hand, if we want to stay away from that kind of thing, I'll fill it out. Either way, it's $5. It doesn't matter to me. I could just...
No, that sounds fine. If you want to just email that to me and CC Brady, that would be great, and we'll make sure you
perfect.
Get the money.
And then I will follow up once the state gets back to me. So we now have a business account with the state. Sam and Steven, I'll CC you both with the credentials through the encrypted email. But I will post the findings. It shouldn't take 2 minutes for them to look it over, approve it, and move on. And then, Brady, I need to contact the registered agent. We do have a registered agent in North Carolina, but I think we just need to make sure that we're still a client of theirs. Like, make sure.
Yeah, this is Lou. You know, we can make one of ourselves registered agent. I don't know how it is. The last time I started a company in Florida was like years ago, but they're very, very specific here in Florida about registered agent. And if you don't have one and they find you not having one, there's like huge fines per day for not having one. So registered agent, my opinion is you should make that pretty high priority. And if you don't have them, then one of us or can be the registered agent until we find one that actually is, you know, does that for a living, a lawyer's office.
Are you
in Florida? They're very strict on that, so I don't know about where you guys are doing that, what state, but just I'm just sharing that with you.
It's North Carolina.
I'll give them a call tomorrow to find out what's going on. The registered agent by North Carolina statute has to reside in the state. So unless we have a board member living in North Carolina, we could not do that.
Okay.
But I agree. I'll make a phone call tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, you have your hand up. Are you trying to?
No, I did not see that.
I lowered it. Okay, because your hand has been up for about 10 minutes.
I'll try to bring it down.
Okay.
Is it gone?
It's gone now.
Okay. Still figuring out the idea.
So and then I guess the next item is what we're alluding to. So you know, our goal is to get quorums at every, and we've done a good job today actually, but just to get quorum at every meeting. So we want to make sure all the members are participating. And there is a bylaw which we don't want to act on right away or anything, but there's a bylaw that basically states that if a member has 3 unexcused absences, they're basically removed from the board. It's not even requiring a vote; it's just in the bylaw. So we just want to make sure that it's probably good to make sure all the board knows that this bylaw exists. And then we can use it if we have members that aren't participating or showing up, especially if it gets in the way of the quorum. I mean, really, the goal is to get everybody to show up at every meeting that we do once a month. Obviously, there's going to be reasons for why you're going to miss, but that's why it's you're definitely allowed to miss excused, but it's the unexcused and those things. And I don't think we should probably, I mean, now that we're just letting folks know, we probably shouldn't count backwards and think, you know, what happened in the past, but it's just something that I think we should all be aware of and make sure that we're all clear about it. And maybe, you know, if we do have somebody who's not showing up, and then we could start to maybe use that to keep the board functioning.
Brady, do you want to do something formally, like asking Robert to send out a general advisory to everybody who's part of Open EMR, especially of the directors, so that they know what the bylaw is, and Robert can quote chapter and verse, or sent them a direct quote so that they know, because you don't, if a director does not know about this, then you can't really fault them for it. But would you like to make a motion formally to have it done in an official way?
I'm not even sure that we need a to vote on that. I think I can just, like we're talking about, I think I can just send out a reminder, an email reminding everybody of the bylaws and like Brady was saying, just kind of moving forward, understanding that there is the 3 unexcused absence marks. But I agree with Brady. I don't think we should start going back and retroactively counting absences, because this was fairly buried in the bylaws. And unless you've had your nose in them for a while, I think it'd be easy to miss. On a good note, we've had a lot of us have had our noses in the bylaws trying to work through everything, and I think that's why it's kind of come up.
But yeah. just to do it formally, if you act as secretary, sending out this advisory to everybody, rather than for folks who don't attend meetings regularly, they may not even have any idea what's in the bylaws. So to formalize it, first of all, you probably have to make a motion to do it. Whether or not you want to vote on it is another matter, but I think that it carries more weight when it's done in a formal way by you, Robert, unless Brady wants to do it himself.
Brady, thoughts? I mean, I have no problem sending out that email.
Yeah, and I could put in, you know, just so it ends up in the minutes, I could put a motion basically to make a motion to announce the bylaws, requiring, I guess the best way to state this would be announce the bylaws to ensure that you don't have more than two unexcused absences per term.
And what would you like as a mechanism for folks to send in their excuses? Because I don't think people have been doing that regularly, too. So what sort of mechanism would you like?
I think they should email me.
Yeah, I agree. And then, so basically, I guess the motion would be to email, the secretary with the excuses.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brady and Robert. Brady, I have a view here. Could we send out the schedule for next one quarter or next two quarters? And along with that, we can mention if you don't attend two meetings, then you will be automatically removed.
And it's three, just to be sure it's three. And it's not a 10. You just have to, it's just unexcused absences. The goal is just, we're not trying to, our goal is that we're just trying to get everybody at every meeting since we're only doing this once.
I understand. All I'm saying is the forum could be next 3 months. Here is the meeting schedule, and if they miss it, then that is issue. So what I'm saying is let us also communicate the calendar for next 3 months or next 6 months, whatever it is.
And the calendar is essentially going to be the first, it's the same. It's going to be the, I don't think we're changing the time at this point. So I think the calendar is essentially the same.
The third Wednesday every month?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Okay.
And this is Lou. I like the emails. Going onto the website and checking things is not something I do a lot. So hopefully, something as important as this is an email basis.
Yeah.
Brady, does Robert have to actually call Jit because as I noted to you, when I email Jit, he doesn't respond. So. Do you think that Robert would have to actually call Jit to let him know?
He reads his emails because I know when I called him one time, he had read all his emails. So
he did. Okay.
And maybe send out. I could also send him an email and just let him know what we're doing.
Okay.
It's also I agree doing the official. Having it in the minutes, we'll send out a message to everybody by the secretary, and then I'll also send an email because I think Jit's the only one that's not here. And Tony, he'll be aware of it because he'll follow the forums in the minutes. So.
Yeah. Brady, we can set up an automatic reminder if that makes it easy for everybody.
Those reminders are easy. I don't mind doing, because right now I just do one week before and one like 3 days before. Yes. It's very easy because I have all the emails and it's a simple thing to do. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Sure. I do have one related question on that, Brady. I do get an email, which I think Tony must have changed from his name to my mail ID. So who is going to change that, or is it going to be that way? I was wondering maybe we can make a group alias for that, which I forwarded that to you, Brady.
Yeah, I think that'll be something to talk about with Tony. Tony's kind of set up email aliases in the past for each board director position. And the one he used a lot was president@oemr.org, and he's used that in almost everything, it seems like. So that channels, and he'll end up changing that to Shamim, but I think it may make sense to even, the problem is it's not only stuff related to the president, it's stuff related to, even I saw the Twitter account, goes through that.
He set up, the secretary is forwarding to me. If you email secretary@oemr, it comes to my personal email.
But are you getting anything related to the secretary or?
Nobody's even telling me anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that the problem is now, right now, the president Elias is just attached to a lot of different places. So, the Shamim will probably start getting that now, and it's probably he may just have to start sending emails to the right person. I think it's or sending it. So right now I have it so that it's going to myself and to Senna.
I recommend to be on the safe side. We can have an alias so more than one person gets it. Whatever reasons, if one person didn't have a chance or did not read the mail, the other person can at least follow it up.
Yeah.
Just the backup.
Brady, are there two email addresses, one to the president, one to the secretary right now? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Yeah, and then he has one for the set up for others too. So he has it for every single officer has one. But I actually, like for me, I just made the contact email address of OEMR.org. I made it my real email address because
Right.
I don't know
right.
if I trust Elias's very much in terms of the emails. If they don't go through, you never know it. And the person who sends it will never know it either. So
yeah.
I think for important mail, we should use our own email address, but definitely having those things is helpful. I think for the president one, it's so out there. It's even in the installation setup. When you install OpenEMR, it's like step six. It says, please email the president@oemr.org with, how your setup went or something like that. So you even get these random emails that are people just saying it's set up well, that kind of thing.
Great. I think I did tell you that if an email is sent to the secretary, it doesn't go to the secretary. It goes to the president. I think I told you that.
Oh, yeah, but Tony, he's changed it all. I asked him to. So at this point, everything is going to the right person.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it is all going to the right person. And he had the president go to myself and Senate just because Senate was covering it.
Okay.
And I knew that there's so many different. And the ones I don't want to miss are the ones by InfoGuard. And I actually emailed InfoGuard already and just gave him my direct email address. So that's the ones I don't want to miss. Or because with certification, sometimes they send an email saying, you need to do this by this time to keep your certification.
That's right.
Type of
That's
thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we just got it for those types. You don't want to put through that Elias, but I think other things we can put through, like the Twitter account. But the problem is having it all go to the president to manage all that. I mean, it's not too much, but it's just, you get a lot of strange. It's just been used in a lot of different places.
It's almost like we need just an info@OEMR.
That's what I think would be, maybe we could start using that, like in places, and I think he even has an info, he could probably set that up, an info one, and then in places where it's not really that necessary that, that we'd get the email, we could use that just to analyze it to somebody.
Hey, Brady, this is Jed. I slipped in a little bit late. I'm sorry. The info, if the info is set up, who would be monitoring that? Basically, which officer?
That's why, I'm not sure who would maybe the, you think the secretary, or I'm not really sure.
Send it to the secretary.
It's not much, but it's just there are, I've just noticed, every couple of days you get a strange email. Like, I got one today from the Twitter account, and then I got one a couple of days from just a random user is just saying how their installation went well, and then those kinds of things. So. It is, I think it's something we need to try to unwind, I think. And I mean, it's fine to have them, but I think if we're emailing each other, we shouldn't probably use them. We should just use our actual emails. And even if you sign up an account with, if you sign up an account with a bank or something, it's probably better to use your own email, not use this. We shouldn't probably be going through these aliases either, I don't think.
Right.
So we have a motion on the table brought by Brady, seconded by Robert, to send out an advisory email regarding attendance requirements of board members for board meetings. If you are at a computer, or I guess I should let Senna do it.
Yeah, please raise your hand.
Kevin, how do you vote?
Brady?
I think Brady can't raise his hands because he's the host.
Oh,
yes. I vote yes. If that's
okay. Kevin, how do you vote? Probably got to unmute. We'll come back to Kevin. Chit?
Sorry. What? That we need a certain attendance requirement? Is that the question?
This is Brady. You probably came in a little late. I'll explain to you real quick. So the bylaws basically say that you can't have three. If you have three unexcused absences, you basically are off the board. But we're not going retroactive on it or anything. But we're just trying to announce to everybody that bylaw exists. And we're trying to get everybody to show up for every meeting, or have an excuse and or give. Let us
okay.
give an
yeah,
excuse
think,
for why.
That's
the basic
fair.
Of it.
I mean,
that's the basic.
I think at this level of participation and this level of importance, there has to be some kind of commitment. And life happens, but, three is fair enough. So, I'm sort of guilty with that too. But going forward, I think it's a good idea. And if somebody can't do it, then maybe they just don't have the time commitment in their schedule. So I motion that.
Okay, Roberto?
I vote yes.
Lou?
I vote yes.
And the last person, Kevin?
Yes.
Great. The motion carries.
Do we have to include JIT in the election process of the chair?
My initial guess is because the vote has already happened,
mm-hmm.
it would be no.
Okay.
Steven, do you know anything in the bylaws to think otherwise?
I think it's just general order is that, if you miss the vote, you miss the vote.
Okay.
Unless there's something stipulating, full board approval, then I would imagine if it's just a missed vote. So we are still in new business. Sena, I don't have anything else on my agenda other than adjourning.
Very good. Does anyone else have anything?
Nope. Well, I had a question, I think reference to my name. The question was, include me. What was that about? I'm sorry.
It had to do with regarding a vote we had made previously, I think before you got on the phone, regarding the election of Sam as chairman.
Oh, okay.
Sam has been voted in, so we thought they. My question was whether or not we had to allow you to vote on that, but Stephen's thought was that if you missed it, you missed it.
No, I think that's fair. I think
okay.
that's fair for the time commitment of the meeting. We don't want to go rehash it. So, we wouldn't change the decision, right? If one person
no.
say nay.
No.
Yeah, so, good.
Very good. If there is nothing else to discuss, we are on time, right on time. So we can adjourn the meeting. And
thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
See you
next month.
Thank you.
Next month. Thank you.